In the sudden quiet, he heard the old man's voice and simultaneously felt the stiff breeze in off the sea.
"Sorry about the uniform. We thought it would be better for you to make a specific impression at the heliport."
Prada man bent, retrieving keys from beneath the left front wheel of the black Lincoln town car.
"Lovely spot, isn't it?"
he said, looking toward the garage, the smaller houses.
"Underbuilt by current standards,"
the old man said. Tito took off the sunglasses, considered them, decided against keeping them, and put them in one side pocket of the lawn care jacket. He put the cap in the other and removed the jacket. He opened the black nylon bag, took out his APC jacket, shook it out, and put it on. He put the green jacket in the bag and zipped it shut.
"It was like this in the 70s, when it sold for a little under $300,000," said the Prada man. "Now they're asking $40 million."
"I'm sure they are," said the old man. "Nice of them to have allowed us to land."
"The realtor suggested a lower offer, provided the terms are sufficiently simple. The caretakers, of course, have been instructed not to disturb us."
He pressed a button on the keys in his hand, opened the driver's side door.
"Really? How wealthy am I in this case?"
"Very."
"By virtue of what, exactly?"
"Internet pornography."
Getting behind the wheel.
"Are you serious?"
"Hotels. A chain of boutique hotels in Dubai."
He started the car.
"Ride up front with me, Tito."
The old man opened the rear door. He looked back at Tito.
"Come along."
He got in, closing the door. Tito walked around the long, gleaming black hood, noting New Jersey plates, and got in.
"I'm Gareth,"
the man behind the wheel said, extending his hand. Tito shook his hand. Tito pulled the door shut. Gareth put the Lincoln in gear, and they rolled forward, crushed shale crunching beneath its tires.
"Fruit and sandwiches,"
Gareth said, indicating a basket between them.
"Water."
He followed the loop toward the garage and the smaller houses, then swung right, taking a beige road into the brown woods.
"How long will this take?" asked the old man.
30 minutes this time of year," Gareth said, "through Amagansett and East Hampton on Route 27.
"Is there a gatehouse?"
"No, a gate, but the realtor's given us the exit code."
The car's tires on the shale were muffled by dark pads of crushed dead leaves.
"Tito," said Gareth, "I noticed you kept your eyes closed on the way out. Don't like helicopters?"
"Tito," said the old man, "hasn't flown since he left Cuba. That may well have been his first helicopter."
"Yes,"
Tito said.
"Ah,"
said Gareth, and drove on. Tito stared into the brown depths of the woods. He hadn't been so far from a city since leaving Cuba. Soon the one who called himself Gareth stopped the car, its hood a few feet from a low, heavy-looking gate of galvanized steel.
"Give me a hand with this," Gareth said, opening his door. "It's motorized, but when I was here with the realtor, the chain kept slipping."
Tito got out. There was two-lane blacktop passing just beyond the gate. Gareth had opened a gray metal box attached to a white wooden post and was using the keypad mounted inside it. The smell of the forest was rich and strange. A small animal ran through branches overhead, but Tito couldn't see it, only a branch left swaying. An electric motor whined, and a chain like a very long bicycle chain, part of the gate, began to jump and rattle.
"Help it along,"
Gareth said. Tito took the gate in his hands and shoved to the right, toward the sound of the engine. The chain caught, the gate juddering sideways, following a raised track of the same metal.
"In the car. There's a beam that closes it when we're through."
Tito looked back from the front seat as the rear of the Lincoln cleared the gate. It closed smoothly enough, but Gareth stopped, got out, went back to check that it was fully closed.
"That needs looking after," said the old man. "Gives a prospective buyer the impression the whole place is in poor repair."
Gareth got back in. They turned onto the blacktop, and Gareth drove, picking up speed.
"No more helicopters today, Tito," he said.
"Good," Tito said.
"Strictly fixed wing, this next leg."
Tito,
who had been looking at the bananas in the basket between them, thought better of it.
"Leg?" asked Tito. "A Cessna Golden Eagle," said the old man. 1985. One of the last they manufactured. Very comfortable, quiet. We'll be able to sleep."
Tito's body wanted to press itself further back into the seat. He saw buildings ahead.
"Where are we going?"
"Right now," said Gareth. "East Hampton Airport." "A private plane," said the old man. "No security checks, no identification. We'll be getting you something more viable than a New Jersey driver's license, but you won't be needing anything today."
"Thank you," Tito said, unable to think of anything else to say. They passed a small building with a painted sign, "Lunch," cars parked in front of it. Tito looked down at the banana. He hadn't eaten since the night before, with Bianca and Brother Man, and the Guerreros were no longer with him. He picked up the banana and began resolutely to peel it. "If I have to learn to fly," he told his stomach, "I refuse to starve while doing it." His stomach seemed unconvinced, but he ate the banana anyway. Gareth drove on, and the old man said nothing.